depth and accuracy of the person of Jesus Christ for us, in us, and through us. Thank you for our eyes are further opened to the abilities that are resident in us in Christ, as we behold Him as He sees us in Him. Amen. Philemon 6. We're looking at my church and I. Praise the Lord. Say, my church and I. It's not about knowing your church and you. And I believe that there's a couple of people, they get a hold of, I know some guys who study, they get a hold of teachings along the lines of redemption, grace. But when it comes to things like this, these are practical truths in Scripture about the Christ life that must be understood. You know, if you know about who you are in Christ, you don't thought about the local church and things like walking in love, then who are you in Christ, by the way? You know. Because see, Christianity is such that we must be taught. It must be explained. I think I told you one time how you can speak English Yoruba. Can you remember that? You can receive the knowledge of God's word with your background and not having put away your whole belief system. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm aware that there are people, for example, who will join a church and they came from another church, which is not a bad idea. But they seem to think that there's a general way churches should be like. For example, someone asked me one time, said, how come in this church you don't clap? I said, we do, but we don't clap for God. You can see we clap for the first time. But we don't clap for God because clapping is not praise. It's in the Bible. It's right there. Clapping is not praise. Clapping was used for making fun of people in judgment in Scripture. Clapping is not praise. Now, I realize some people clap so that they can keep up the beat of the song. But why would you do that with all that? Some are doing that for you. So it's not praise. But how come? Well, because in Scripture, and we have taught this. So it's not just a spirit gets a hold of us and nobody claps. It's because we have explained it in the first service in His sight. Remember the word in His sight? The presence of the Lord. I explained that in the morning. Meaning presence of the Lord and in His sight. You see, they have different applications. So really, you must, the local church is where you learn. To learn. Is it wrong to clap? Nope. Is it a sin? Nope. But it's not praise. Neither is it worship. Hallelujah. How do you know that? You learn. All right, Philemon 6. So, in a local assembly, we also learn how to conduct ourselves. Paul wrote Timothy that thou mayest know, 3:15, how you ought to behave. Philemon 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual, don't forget, verse 5, hearing of thy love that thou hast, and faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. And we said that there was something written about many churches, their love for what? For saints. Their love for who? Love for the saints. So it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing. Now look at the word communion or communication, which is our teaching really, understanding Christian fellowship. Like I said last week, The idea we have about the word fellowship is this. For example, we say things like, thank you for worshiping with us today. Meanwhile, what you come to the service is not called worship. What you come to church to do is fellowship. Hallelujah. Those who use worship for services have the Old Testament idea of going to the temple. But we are the temple of God. Hallelujah. So what we do is to fellowship. When I was in school, university, I'm still in school, trying to get some extra degrees. And I will not disclose anything this time around. And some of you are my adversary. So the guy told me, he said, oh, well, I said, I pastor Faith Family Fellowship. Oh, he said, oh, I pastor a church. They assume that a church is the one in town. A fellowship is the one on campus. According to 3 Maccabees chapter 6 verse 8. Nonsense. Do you realize that fellowship was what the church was doing? We'll see that. The word fellowship, Christian fellowship, first thing you see, fellowship is received and fellowship should be active. There's a fellowship we have received and there's fellowship that is active. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The word that the communication of thy faith, the word communication there is the fellowship of your faith. The sharing, koinonia, of your faith may become effective. Koinonia there was used by people who jointly own something. Koinonia. So jointly own something. Or to jointly have something. That the communication of that faith may become effective. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us. You know, the truth is, we say all that after the meeting is over. We actually should say, when the meeting starts. I hope you understand what I just said now. The word fellowship is the word communication here. The fellowship of your faith. Now, look at the word fellowship, koinonia. Acts 2:42. As people received Christ, the gospel, and they got born again. Look at verse 42. Verse 41 says, indeed, that gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Then verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in what? Everybody now? In what? The apostles' doctrine. That's teaching. I've heard people say, what is the apostles' doctrine? Let us follow the apostles' doctrine. What is the doctrine? It just means teaching. Alright? It means the apostles were teaching. The apostles' doctrine. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Fellowship. So, they, notice the word, continued in fellowship. First time you see. 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9. You still in church? So, why do you always ask, are you still in church? Because your mind can be elsewhere. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, that's the word fellowship, of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ, the sharing, That's what it means. 2 Corinthians 6:14. What fellowship? Now he's talking about partnership now. What fellowship, all right, had righteousness with unrighteousness? So, things, so there's no fellowship. That is, there's no common ground for righteousness and unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 8:4. Praying with us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The fellowship of the ministering to the saints. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, alright, they glorify God. For your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. You know, we taught that at the Workers' Convention, right? And for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Unto this fellowship. There's fellowship in there. Galatians 2. So, what are we reading? Are we reading passive or active fellowship? Active fellowship. That is, fellowship was seen in what they were doing. So, fellowship is a conduct. First of all, we have been called unto fellowship. What we have. Then, fellowship is a conduct. We've seen that. Fellowship of what we share. Fellowship of what they gave. So, what they gave was referred to as fellowship. Galatians 2:9. Paul speaking. He says, I'll start from 8. And he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, what did they do? They gave to me, are you there? Galatians 2:9. They gave to me what? And Barnabas, the right hands of fellowship, that which will go unto the ethan, and they go unto circumcision. The right hand of fellowship. Brother Higgins speaks about the left foot of fellowship. Left foot of fellowship and the right hand of fellowship. I've had the left foot of fellowship before. And they say, we don't want you again. That's the left foot of fellowship. There's a right hand of fellowship. That means they wanted us to do things together. Philippians 2:1. Koinonia. So you can see that fellowship is in a conduct. It's in a practice. Philippians 2:1. Judge. Philippians 2:1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Love. You know, last week we looked at the word division. Division and heresies. Where we have division, can there be fellowship? You can't fellowship when you have division. Okay, Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Fellowship. Let's see one more place. Okay, I forgot to read Romans 15:26. I skipped that. Sorry for that. It's a mistake. Romans 15:26. Fellowship. Koinonia. Romans 15:26. For it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain fellowship, that's the word koinonia, for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So, you've seen that fellowship refers to giving. Right? Right? Right. To give. Good. Now go to Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 16. Let's read it together. Hebrews 13, 16. Are you there? Let's go. But to do good and to The word communicate there is fellowship. And to fellowship, forget not. For which sacrifices, God is well pleased. To do good and to communicate. That's to fellowship. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. That you also, so they also are good, may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. We have a fellowship with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. So you may have fellowship with us. 1 John 1:3, two times. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Interestingly, people use this for conduct, but he's actually talking about Christian fellowship. Right? Christian fellowship. Cleanses from all sins. 1 John 1. Okay, 1 John 3:6 as well. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If you read the word darkness, just go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 was talking about not walking in love. 1 John 3. The word darkness here is not talking about, you know, sometimes whenever we see a word, we don't, just like I've asked many places, and people always look and I say, what was Adam seeing? I say, what was he seeing? Fruit eating? Can be. What was the darkness he's referring to? Just read the same book. 1 John 3. Are you there? 1 John 3. Verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in what? In death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abides in him. Then he says in verse 16, whereby we pass the law of God because we lay down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. So he says in verse 17, he says, but whoso has this world's good and sees his brother has need and shuts up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My dear friend, let's love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, and then he says in truth. Okay, hold on. In truth. Okay, 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Kind of funny. 1 John 5. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. I know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. He says, and we know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding that we might know him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ, and this is true God and eternal life. So he's teaching about eternal life. And he teaches eternal life in chapter 3, about walking in love, that we know we are of God, right? Because we love. We love. We walk in love. So he says, we have fellowship one with another. Okay? We don't walk in darkness. We have fellowship one another. Okay? Verse 6, 1 John 1:6. We say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. Then in verse 5, this is the message we have of him, and declare unto you that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. So, if you read this together with chapter 3, you see he's talking about love. Primarily. Fellowship. Fellowship. And he focused on that. Fellowship. Sharing with brethren. That we are, if you find someone who does not love, he says that fellow lives or walks in death. He abides in death. He says the life of God does not abide in him. Of course, he's talking about conduct-wise. So, Look at 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 7. Want us to read verse 7, 8, 9 to verse 11. I write no new commandment unto you, an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. The new command I write unto you, which is the true in him and in him. Because the darkness is past, the true light now shines. Now let's take verse 9 together, everybody. 1 John 2. He that said he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 10. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Let's take verse 11 together. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen. So you can see that he's talking about what? Love. Life, death, darkness, light. Does it make sense? So 1 John 1 talks about fellowship. Praise God. Amen. Do you understand that? Okay. So, fellowship. Again. So the word again, koinonia, is what belongs to us. To partake of a gift, koinonia, is from the word koinonios, K-O-I-N-O-N-O-S. That is to belong to us. Something like a public stuff. Public. Now, you know, public. Something that is open to all, available to all. Matthew 23:30. You know. 23:30. We would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Partakers with them. You find the word to partake of. Luke 5:10. Where Peter had his fish multiplied by the virtue of Jesus' miracles. And the Bible says he had James and John, Luke 5:10, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. That is, they took of the same trade. They were doing the same thing with Simon. 1 Corinthians 10:18 and 20, the same thing. You'll find the words again, to partake of. So there's what we all have, fellowship, then to partake of. To take part of something is active fellowship. To take part in something. You understand? You understand? To take part in something. And you know, to take part in this service, for example, is not to sit down on the chair, because this chair is not part of the service. What makes it the service are the people that are there. That's what fellowship means. So, we have many Christians who attend services and don't fellowship. They don't fellowship. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. To partake. So I say partake. Uh-huh. Okay? To partake, just put it behind. To take part of. 2 Corinthians 8:23. I think that makes sense, right? To take part of something. 8:23. It says, whether I do inquire of Titus, is my partner and fellow helper. Partner. Partner. Someone you do things together. What do you call a partner? You know, we call a wife your partner. Alright? Now, I know what I mean by that. We have my partner. For example, I have I have companies that I work with, and we are partners. We have shareholdings in the company. So we are partners. So the company belongs to us. Now, dear truth, it does belong to us. Because when there's a problem, we both don't sleep. So what are we going to do? I say, let's talk about it in the morning. But the staff, they sleep. They sleep off. They wait for you to solve the problem, because you are partakers. It belongs to you. Amen. You know, folks can come to Nigeria, and then, you know, sometimes Americans are in Nigeria and they give them travel ban. Be careful. So, so, and so, and so. You can't give Nigerians travel ban about Nigeria. We are the ones that will pray about it. Because we are partakers. Hallelujah. It belongs to us. Okay. Now, Philemon 7, just the one we read earlier. Philemon 7. To partake of something. Philemon 7. Right? For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Consolation in thy love. The word consolation there is the same word. Fellowship in your love. We partake of your love. Hebrews 10:33. And 1 Peter 5:1. Partaker of Christ's suffering. Peter now. And of the glory that should be revealed afterwards. 1 Peter 5:1. Witness of Christ's suffering, sorry. And partaker of the glory that shall afterward or shall be revealed. 1 Peter 5:1. 2 Peter 1:4. That we might be partakers of the divine nature. So, when you have the word partaker, the first thing is this. Pay attention. You take part of and you contribute. So, it's partnership. You receive and then you give. That's what is called fellowship. You are part of it. You are part of it. You take part of. So, you have to take part of. You're part of it. Amen. Let me go over it again. How many of you have businesses, you are partners with people? Amen. Yeah. How many of you work in companies where you're not a partner at all? You don't want to raise your hand on anyone. You just go. Right? You just go work. But it doesn't belong to you. Remember, my dad told me this in 1995. I think so. I went to visit his office. And he was general manager of a bank on the island. And they just opened the island then. Just opened it for business. So, I came in the office. And he just, right in his office, I just proven to be the GM's son. So, I was walking in, you know, I think I came from school. We had a semester break or something. So, I came. So, I saw him. So, you know, I think he saw how I acted. Because I acted somehow, because on that floor, he was a big man. So I walked in and all that. And I sat down. He said, Augustus. People are hypocrites. He sat me tea. How are you? You know, just so that they won't sack him. So my dad was writing. He didn't even look up. My dad was what you call a lamposa. He wasn't even greeting me. And I didn't know, he was just writing, how are you? He was just reading. Then the director of the bank came in. He heard his voice. He got up. You know, that's a his president and my father above. The guy just came in and he got up. Young guy. He was saying, can you imagine? I was wondering, who is that guy? I didn't ask. But I think I figured it out. So when the fellow left, he now told me, man, that I'll never forget. He said, when you resume at a job, they call it your table, they call it your chair. He said, when they remove you, try and take it home. That's how you know it was never yours. It registered in my mind. He said, it's not yours. He said, that's my table. He said, the day they ask you to leave, try and take it home. That's how you know it was never yours. But he was not a partaker. You understand? Does it make sense? You are not a partaker. You are there, but it's not yours. Praise God. Good. Now, we are called to what? Fellowship. To partake. To be part of. Now, 2 Corinthians 13, one more time. 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, who became poor, that we might become rich. The love of God, which is not talking about money. The love of God, which is the communion of the Holy Ghost. Now, if he says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, anywhere grace is used, a gift must be there. Because grace means to give. So he's saying the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God. All right? Because you can't say, for God's commended his love towards us while we're created, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave. Every time you talk about grace, you're talking about the love of God. So, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is not part one. The love of God, part two. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, part three. He's talking about the same thing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, which is the love of God, which refers to what? Partaking of who? The Spirit is with us. So we partake of the Spirit. What does it mean? Again, koinonios means that the Spirit belongs to all of us. Do you understand that? In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God, the Spirit of God belongs to all of us. It's not a closing service chant. Say with one another, surely. So I told him, say, why don't you share grace in this service? I said, what have you been sharing since we started? Say to one another, say surely, goodness of my, the grace of God, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Rest and abide with us forevermore. Whatever you like, say. He said, it's with us, with you all, amen. So we have the fellowship of the Spirit. Amen. The new man. 1 John 6:17. So I say, we have the same Spirit. So, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we have been given, is the fellowship of the Spirit. We have the same Spirit. What is common to all of us is what? Definitely not our hairstyle. That's obvious. Not our eyes. I don't have to call names. You know, this their brother is the kind of person you remove, you bring a catapult against. You come against me, the name of the name I come against you, the name of the armies of Israel. God of Israel, you bring out a catapult because I know that. And that there are others that when you see them, say the Lord will soon crush Satan under your feet. So there are believers here that typify our different conducts. Some are above all principalities and power. Some humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, that He will lift you up. Pastor Ibuku is one of such people. Sometimes I say Sister Titi trying to, you know, and the Bible says it's when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. She wears shoes that make it difficult for it to be the preparation for the gospel of peace. How can you go in evangelism with the shoes making you so tall that the people you're going to preach say, are you this tall? Alright, that's just a joke. Let's go on. So, okay, what is common to us cannot be the way we look. You get my point? You know, I've seen Remy try to draw everything but himself. You know why? There is no way he can put his color there. Kind of funny, right? He's tried his best. We have some guys that when they sing, you know that it's all by grace. That Jesus had to make us true worshipers. It can't be by works. Those are the kind of people, David said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let everything that has breath. I remember a music team that I was ahead years ago. I said, you know what? It's good you want to join this music team, but this is not for everything that has breath. The sister felt offended. So sorry. Because she was saying the voice was so tiny. She's just making noise. This is just showing that you have life in you. Amen. Okay, let's go. So you can see, obviously, we don't come from the same background. Some of us speak English, from English, it depends on, you know, what you, you know, so really, amen. Some of you are doctors, lawyers, pharmacists, some of you are teachers, businessmen and all that. Some of you are bankers, that's an undefined profession. Doesn't matter what you study in school, just submit your CV. Even teaching now, yeah, just teach. I think study engineering, they're teaching Yoruba somewhere, but it's fine. So we all have, you know. But you see, what is common to us is the Spirit. That's why we're called sons of God. Our profession doesn't define us in Christ. Our gender doesn't define us in Christ. Our age doesn't define us in Christ. So whatever it is not the fellowship. Our tribe doesn't define us. You know, that thing is very stuck. You know, particularly if you're in Nigeria, we're trained to be tribalistic. Unconsciously. You know, my dad told me when I was young, I wish I can say it in Yoruba, but I can only say it in English now. You must never marry from these people. And I wondered why. The funny part was, after he had complained about the particular tribe, that after he gives a law, a Sinaitic law, about a particular tribe, he comes home complaining about being defrauded by people from his own tribe. Not thinking this thing is spiritual. You get it? So really, we have to realize that when we are in Christ, we put those things aside. Because that's not the fellowship. Learning something? You learn something? That's not the fellowship. The fellowship we have is the Spirit. It's not any other thing. It's not your job. It's not, and that's why a church, in as much as based on communication, we can have a church based on language, we must never develop doctrines based on those things. They are secondary. Because I speak English more than I speak Yoruba, and I can't speak Igbo, I can't pastor a Hebrew church now because a strictly Hebrew church where they speak Igbo even a Yoruba church, because I may not be able to be fluent to teach what I'm saying. But you see, no matter what it is, I must not reduce the fellowship of the saints to tribe. And that's why you see many praise worship sessions are tribal demonstrations. Even the songs they sing, they begin to use incantations from the tribe. You know, and you see all those oyigi yigi are things that have been said about legendary gods and idols of a tribe. Praise God. It's just the same way we want to praise God. That's pluralist, plural. Eyinio. When a single say, he warned you. God said, I don't say that. But I go, Eyinio. I say, God is a spirit guy. Eyinio. You understand? That's a tribal appreciation of a spiritual truth. First Corinthians 6:17. What is common to us will be what? Amen. We mustn't be found dressing the same way and wearing green overall. Oh, all believers in a particular church go to a particular hairdresser, men, salon. So what's going on? Some guys come out, they look more like shoemakers, you know. That's not the fellowship of the saints. Amen? Our fellowship is in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We mustn't be found doing those kind of stuff. Now, some exceptions happen. For example, the kind of club you support. No, you can't be of God. And then they ask you, what are you? So I'm a red devil. No, we said we should cast out devils. Drink no longer wine. You say, your name of your club is just a hot drink. Not fair. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God. Hallelujah. Thought you got my message? Or if you don't, you go pray for yourself. You know, there was some... I believe that. But you see, the fellowship we have is in the Spirit. It's not hairstyle. It's not clothes. It's not the kind of cars we drive or where we live. It's who we are. What defines us is that God gave us His Spirit. And so, when we talk about fellowship, the fellowship stems from that spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Are you in church? Just read it together. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Let's go. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one. Some say one spirit. I go to Ephesians 4. One means same spirit. Ephesians 4. And that spirit, thank God, is not hincubus and succubus. It's not spirit husband. And it's not Asmodeus. Ephesians 4 and 5. Let's go. Okay, let's start from 3. Everybody, let's go. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4. One body, one Spirit, even as you're called to one hope of your calling. 4, 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6. One God, the Father over all, who is above all and through all and in all. Praise God. That defines the fellowship. We have one Spirit. Not one Spirit. That's what we have. Our DNA is the Spirit. That is where our fellowship, the active fellowship, should come from. Are you there? So, we know last week we defined the word brethren. You remember that? Brethren is the word adelphos. Adelphos means you came from the same womb. Brethren. Adelphos means that you came from the same womb. Now, when we say we come from the same womb, we're going to look at it in twofold. The first way we'll see, for example, look at Romans 8:29. We come from the same womb. You know, last week we looked at identification. You must be able to say, you know, this person is from the same womb like I am. Adelphos. What womb are we referring to? Romans 8:29. You following me? Romans 8:29. For whom he for know, he also did predestinate, conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many adelphos. The firstborn. Jesus is called the firstborn. So why is he called the firstborn? Which is not the incarnation. This is the resurrection of Jesus. Hebrews 2:10. Again, look at it. Firstborn among what? Many. Many what? Brethren. Okay, good. Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, that to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Pay attention here. The word captain is the word archegos. A-R-C-H-E-G-O-S. Archegos. It means author. It's used for someone who is the originator or the founder of something. Used for someone who shows the way. Alright? You see the word in Acts 3:15, used for Jesus. Acts 5:31, where you find the word Prince of Life. The Prince of Life. Then, Hebrews 12:2, the author and finisher of faith. Author and finisher of faith. Archegos. Now, look at how this is done. Look at how this is done. Look at how it's done. 10. Salvation. This is done by what? Salvation. So in salvation, Jesus becomes the archegos, which is exactly what we mentioned earlier, the prototokos, firstborn. He is the first to show how others will look like. Prototokos. Archegos is the same thing. So first and foremost, he is called our father from salvation. So, you know who is your brother by what? Salvation. Jesus is the firstborn from salvation. We are his brethren from salvation. Now, sorry, brethren is plural. I know some guys call many, one person brethren is a brethren. That's too much. So we are brothers. Now when we say we are brothers, it's not a title, it's a fact of our birth. from salvation, Jesus is the founder. Archegos. So we are his brethren by the virtue of his sufferings. Okay? Look at how Peter says it. Go to 1 Peter 2:17. 1 Peter 2:17. So it's a twofold. 1 Peter 2:17. Are you there? Let's read it together. Honor all. Love the brotherhood. The word brotherhood is the word adelphotis. You know, adelphos is already brethren. Adelphotis is A-D-E-L-P-H-O-T-E-S. A-D-E-L-P-H-O-T-E-S. Is used for an alliance. A bond. Adelphotis. Love. Now, in those days when Peter used it, it's used for what you call a confraternity. Confraternity. Something that people have a bond with each other. There's a bond. That is, we owe each other an obligation. Loyalty. Trust. Protection. Support. So he says, love the brotherhood. So there's a brotherhood we already have. Love it. That's what Peter is saying. Love the brotherhood. Are you there? Text says it. Love the brotherhood. Okay. So, get back again. So we say, by the virtue of salvation, we are brethren. You can't claim Jesus and not claim me. Do you understand? So that's why I said, salvation, Christianity is not personal. You can't claim Jesus, not claim me. What makes you related to Jesus is what makes you related to me. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? The same fellowship you are called onto with Christ is a fellowship you have with another believer. 1 John 1:3. That you truly you may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. Romans 1:9. We're called onto the fellowship of His Son. So you cannot say, I'm just here for Jesus. That's not possible. I only came because of Jesus. That's not possible. Because the fellowship you have with Jesus is the one you have with the person seated next to you. Remember what he told them in Matthew's Gospel 25. He said, he told some guys, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't. And they said, well, when were you? He said, as often as you do with any of these my brethren, he doesn't call unbelievers his brethren. Those with whom they share fatherhood in Christ. You have done it unto me. So you cannot claim to love Jesus and not love the church. Oh. When you see a Christian who has no local church, I'm going to talk about that before we close. You are seeing a Christian who doesn't love Jesus. No matter what he tries to say, well, I've been bruised, battered, and all that. That's nonsense. The reason why you withdraw fellowship from Christians because you have been bruised, battered, and disappointed is because you don't see them as family. That's why you don't see them as family. You see it as membership of an association. But if you know that what we came to do here is to practice who we are, we must fellowship. Because we have fellowship. We must fellowship. Because we have fellowship. Does it make sense to you? We must fellowship because we have fellowship. Okay? So, we are in fellowship because we are brethren. Why are we brethren? We are brethren because we come from the same womb. Pay attention now. By the virtue of salvation. Don't forget that Jesus became the firstborn from the dead. Colossians 1:18. From the dead. That's when he became the firstborn, Protodocus. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, right, hath quickened us together with Christ. Notice the word together. And made us sit, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, how many times do you have the word together in two verses? Huh? Three. Now, I'll just mention two. The word raised together is the word sune gero. S-U-N-E-G-E-R-O. Or S-U-N-E-G-E-I-R-O. Now, that one is a passive word. It's passive because the word, and the second one, seated together, is the word sugkathizo. S-U-G-K-A-T-H-I-Z-O. S-U-G-K-A-T-H-I-Z-O. Now let me explain them. The first one is passive. Sunagirio. Why is it passive? Because you are doing nothing. Both of them. You are doing nothing. It means, you see it in Colossians 2.12. Colossians 2.12. Same word. Colossians 2.12. Raised him from the dead. Colossians 2.12. Through the operation of God. Colossians 2.12 and 13. Quickened together with him. Quickened together. Colossians 2.13. Colossians 3.1. 3:1, been risen with Christ. You seek those things. Risen with Christ. Risen with Christ. Why is it passive? It means you were taken along. Somebody else was going somewhere, so he took you along. The same way, what you wore, you know, what you wore on your shirt, on yourself right now, the jacket I'm getting, he's not doing anything. I'm the one going. So this is together with me. I'm the one that is active. It's what? Passive. I'm taking it along with me. So we're raised together with. We do nothing that. We only receive what he has done. And we're also made to sit together, right, with him. That means you're in the same place. So based on this, you and every believer, you share fellowship, just like Jesus. Whether you do have to do anything to be my brother in Christ. I don't determine who is my brother in Christ. I don't determine who is my sister in Christ. Allow me to use that. Because it's passive. Jesus determines both. Seated together, raised together. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. Is that clear? Okay, so we are together alongside with him. That's why he says we have the same faith, we have the same God, we have the same Father, we have the same baptism, we have the same Spirit. Now, so Jesus took us along with him. That's the adelphotis. We have a bond. We have a bond already. Why? We're raised together and we're made to what? Sit together. Is it out there? Is it out there? By the virtue of salvation, you have a bond. Okay. Now, the second thing is the Spirit. The Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:13. I want you to get together. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Are you there? Let's read it together. Let's go. For by what? One Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Whether we be born or free. That is, it doesn't matter. Your tribe doesn't matter. Bond or free refers to social status. Okay? Galatians 3:20 says, not male nor female. We have been all made to drink into what? One spirit. So I say one spirit. So we're baptized by one spirit. We have the same spirit. Look at Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28. You there? I'll start from 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have done what? You are put on Christ. Let's take 28 together. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. So by the virtue of salvation, we are all the same. We are all what? The same. Now, in the society, we are not the same. I don't expect you, for example, to maybe your brother in Christ is a policeman. And you say, we are the same. So you go and arrest somebody. Well, you find out that you are not the same. Right? So social status is different. But that is in our relationship with one another, we are what? We are the same. We are the same. Bond not free. Bond not free. We are the same. So, this spirit also shows our fellowship. John 3:3. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:5. Except a man is born of water, which is the spirit, he cannot enter in. Alright? That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. Verse 8. Everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we are all born of what? The Spirit. So we are the same. We are born of the Spirit. And we are the same. Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone has the Spirit of Christ, none of it. Romans 10, if Christ be in you, the Spirit is light because of righteousness. Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now go to Romans 8:15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby you cry what? Abba, Father. Adoption is the word euthesia. We are now seen as sons. We are now seen as sons. Verse 16. For the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The word bears witness is the word sumaterio. S-U-M-M-A-R-T-E-R-E-U-O. Means we are the same. Bears witness. That is, what is in you is in me. Romans 9:1. Romans 2:15, to bear witness. It means whatever you find here, you will find here. So if it says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that means our spirit and the Spirit, they are what? The same. That we are the children of God. So, we are, by the virtue of salvation, we are the same. Because we are raised together, we are seated together, Jesus Christ is the author of our salvation. And that said, by the virtue of what we received from Jesus in Christ, this spirit that is our nature, what makes us God's children, shows us that we are the same. So I say we are the same. So, how then do we enjoy the fellowship? We enjoy the fellowship from what is common to all of us. Let me ask you one more time. What is common to all of us? The Spirit. What is common to all of us? The Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. Salvation makes the Spirit common to all of us. Now listen carefully. Don't lose your attention now. If fellowship, if active fellowship means I give from what I partake of. That means I give from where? I give from where? The Spirit. Whatever, now listen to this vital. If you lose this one, you should have slept. Whatever I give from the Spirit also belongs to you. Come on. Do you understand that? Whatever is in my spirit belongs to you. Because it's a fellowship. Whatever I have is yours. Whatever I give is fellowship. We are partners in it. So let that dawn on you first. So you will not be doing me a favor, in as much as you're doing me a favor, because what you're actually giving from belongs to us. Let's look at one example. And listen carefully. All Christian fellowship must be founded on the act and art of forgiveness. Where there is unforgiveness, there is no fellowship. Forgiveness is what makes fellowship possible with the Father. And forgiveness is a life wire of Christian fellowship. Hope you're getting this. Forgiveness is live wire of Christian fellowship. Ephesians 4. Verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, notice something. He has said, we have one Spirit. In chapter 4, verse 4. In chapter 2, verse 18. We have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Chapter 1, verse 13. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have access to the Father by one Spirit. It's talking about the same Spirit. In chapter 4, he says we have one Spirit, which is verse 4. Then he comes here to tell you in verse 30, you are sealed with that Spirit. Do not grieve that Spirit. I told you the word grieve. It means to make uneasy. To do that which is not fitting for the Spirit. And I love Catherine Kuhlman. I love Catherine Kuhlman a lot. Great woman of God. But I think she didn't understand what the word grieve the Spirit meant. And I think she passed that information and ignorance down to many folks, including Benny Hinn. So, she says stuff like, why are you seated there? You are grieving the Holy Spirit. And everybody thought grieving the Holy Spirit is one spooky keyboard playing action. But grieving the Holy Spirit here has nothing to do with that. Grieving the Holy Spirit here has to do with your conduct towards fellow believers. For example, I remember a couple that I had to talk to, and they had this issue of the wife really had a lot of stuff against the husband. And then she was telling me, you know, how the husband, and I said, you know what? You are the one grieving the Holy Spirit. How did I grieve the Holy Spirit? You are the one grieving the Holy Spirit. So I made her say this. You are the one grieving the Holy Spirit. How? Verse 31. Let all bitterness. Remember, before you get there, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, that you may minister grace unto the heirs. Then verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath with anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So grieving the Holy Spirit is when you step out of love. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. Because that is not your nature. Verse 24. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So grieving the Holy Spirit is to things that are contrary to the Holy Spirit. Who's following this? Is it clear? So, grieving the Holy Spirit is not doing the church service. Where they say we should raise your hand, you put your hands down. That is stupidity. Grieving the Holy Spirit is when you treat another believer wrongly. That's how to grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit is in your relationship with other believers. Does it make sense? Huh? That's how you grieve the Holy Spirit. Because we're called unto the fellowship of the Spirit. Pay attention. So he says, forgive, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Is that clear? He uses the word charizomai. To do it without conditions. Remember Pastor Sam told us years back, somebody gave me then, we're having them. Accessory meeting. So he shared, I'll never forget that day because he just dropped in God's mind thinking at Casino Cinema then. He just came around that particular day to lead prayer at Rema Chapel then, 94. So he said that there's something called the law of advanced forgiveness. Really, the principle he said, I can't find it exegetically wise. But it made sense. He says, the Bible says, before you pray, I will answer you. That as a believer as well, before anybody offends you, you must be ready to forgive. You must have a law of advanced forgiveness. You must know that people will offend you all the time. Come on. You must know that. So, you must be ready. You must have enough forgiveness for enough sins. Because that is how God in Christ has forgiven you. Let me see if you understand that. Do you understand that? So, the first law or the first act of fellowship should be forgiveness. Forgive. Because you know the word forgiveness is a gift from God. You know it's a gift from God. You know, you don't earn forgiveness. So, forgiveness must be your gift in fellowship. That is your contribution in the house of God. You learning something? Forgiveness is your gift. Because don't forget, there's active fellowship. Now, passive fellowship is that we are called unto forgiveness of sins. God's forgiven us. It's a calling we have. So we now are now contributing that fellowship. Does it make sense? To fellow believers. One spirit. Very good. So, chapter 5 verse 1. Now, he just mentioned forgiveness. Has God, for Christ's sake, as what? Huh? So, what's the first thing we look at? As God for Christ. You know, I've told you this before. There are some people that what they teach when you're talking about forgiveness is not in Christ. It is from the law. You know, in the Old Testament, particularly Matthew's Gospel, which is Old Testament in application, it says, forgive so that your Father will forgive you. Okay? That's the Old Testament. So some folks say, well, if you have any sickness on your body, check it. It's because you are living in unforgiveness. Now, I've heard that. This has been explained scientifically. That when you have so much emotions, thoughts, you know, towards people, negative emotions, it leads to sickness. So it's not spiritual. Now, it's the law that says, do this so that you can get this. That's the law. Forgive. Show mercy so you can get mercy. Mm-mm. He didn't say forgive so that God will do anything. He says forgive just as God has forgiven you. So your actions come from God's blessing of forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins is a gift to you. That's why when you give others, it does nothing to God except to glorify His name. It's not for God to... God will not do anything to you based on what you have done or haven't done. That's all Christ has done for us. So, but you will now do to others what God has done to you in Christ. Do you understand that? So sometimes people are talking about love. Listen to them, what they're saying very, very well. They are not teaching the love of God. They are teaching human love. Reciprocating. Or better still, hypocritical love. You are loving so that God can favor you. That's not right. That's not loving from revelation knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You remember that word? Give and it shall be given unto you. I thought we were saying that over and over again. Good measure, pressed down, sugar, over. Which is the principle of the law of sin and death. Follow this now. So, let's read this. Remove the verses. So, let's read verse 32. Then chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. Read it without the verses. So, let's go. And be ye kind one to another. One more time, everybody, please. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye therefore imitators of God, as their children. The word follower means imitators, mimitos. It means to act like the person. Act as their children. Verse 2, let's go. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So, what is Christ's sacrifice? The act of love. So, your act of love becomes what? An offering to God. It's worship. I'm responding to what God has done when I love others. Still out there? So, when I'm forgiven, am I trying to get something from God or am I acting like Him? Huh? Is it to get blessed or because I'm blessed? Is it to be forgiven or because I'm forgiven? Now, my being forgiven of God is my fellowship from Him. My forgiving others is to walk in that fellowship among believers. Does it make sense to you now? Huh? Okay. So, in fellowship, we give unto others what God has given to us. In the same way He gave it to us. Amen. I said amen. In the same way that He gave it to us. Colossians 2. Colossians 3, pardon me. Verse 13. In fact, let's start from verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, Hausa, Igbo, Yoruba, that's what he's saying. Bond or free, MD or messenger. But Christ is what? All and in all. Lift your hands and say, Christ is all. Everybody come on, raise your hands and say, Christ is all and in us all. Say, Christ is all and in us all. That's our identity in Christ. We are not known after our profession or tribe. We are known in Christ. So let's take verse 12. Let's go. 12. Let's go. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Everybody. One more time. Let's go. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. 13. Forbearing. Hold on. Do what? Forbearing. Go on. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Notice, God's forgiveness is in the past tense. Even so do you. Notice something that both letters are talking about. Meekness, long-suffering, bearing with the other person. You discover that there is no anger here. One of the ways Christian fellowship is broken is anger. Wrath. We'll come to that in a moment. Wrath. So, a fundamental principle, you know, last week we talked about identification. Seeing brethren as brethren. Remember that one? First of all, see the person as a brother in Christ. You must see that. And you must respect that fellowship you have. Now, follow this. There is no anger here. Why is Paul writing this much? It's because if you don't know, you will act like a normal person. It means that whatever he's saying is a function of knowledge. You must first of all know who you are. Who you are in Christ. And who the other person also is to you. Remember last week we looked at Saul and Ananias. Remember Ananias and Saul? Where Jesus said, go your way. Remember that? Call it Ella, spiritual Ella. Go your way! Then he got in there, he said, brother Saul. Some guys don't like to be called brother. They think brother is lower than pastor. Some say, I don't like to use pastor. Just call me brother. It's the same thing. He gave gifts unto men. Some apostles, some prophets, and various pastors, teachers, and some brothers. What are we now? 1 Corinthians 3 is a verse that says much to us. 1 Corinthians 3. Look at how he starts. And I, verse 1, and I what? What's brethren again? That means we have the same spirit. We have the same Lord. We are born the same way. So normally, if we have the same spirit, we have the same Lord, we should talk the same way. We should share things the same way. But however, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual. As of the men born of the spirit. I couldn't speak unto you. I could not. As unto. Notice the word as. The word H-O-S in the Greek. As. He used it 3 times, which means it's figurative. It's a figure of speech. As unto spiritual. That means that they are spiritual. Are you following? But he couldn't communicate with them like that. Because everyone who is born of God is born of the spirit. Spiritual. But I couldn't talk to you like you're born again. I couldn't speak unto you. But I had to speak unto you as unto what? As unto carnal. Now, again, as unto is figure of speech. The word carnal there is the word sarkinos. Sarkinos. Of the flesh. Figures of speech. Second word. Then in verse 3, he says, are you not carnal? Is the word sarkikos. He said, why? Why do I have to talk to you like this? He said, because you are babes. The word babes is the word nepios. One who has not developed. These are old people. Some of them were born again in Apostle Baba's last crusade in 1939. And they are still around. But their conduct doesn't show that they are growing. Notice that these are people who came behind in no gift. So you can have the gifts of the Spirit flowing through your nose. When you sneeze, it comes out. But he's saying to you that yet in the way you comprehend relationships, You think like someone who is not born again. So we can have a believer. Now, you know, these folks, for example, in Corinth, can we say they were grieving the Holy Spirit? Huh? They were. Why? Because they are acting in the flesh. They are grieving the Holy Spirit. And in grieving the Holy Spirit, were they speaking in tongues? Huh? They were having prophecies. But they were grieving the Holy Spirit. So, follow this. This is right now. He says, I couldn't speak concerning unto spiritual. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 2, just a few verses before. These things also we speak, comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. With the Holy Ghost. Teacher, pardon me. Comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. So, that's how should we speak normally? We should compare spiritual things with spiritual. But now, we can't do it. We have to sit you down and tell you so many stuff. And you have to say, you know, naturally I'm a sanguine. You left the Bible for psychologists. You know, naturally, the way I am, my mother used to tell me that I'm onipufufu, onipufufu, onipufufu. What's wrong with you? You know, we say, I'm a Nikiti man. We are very stubborn. Christian? I'm a Jebu man. What do you say about that? Say what? You know, the last president of Nigeria was one of the most unwise human beings I know. Because he went to the palace of the paramount ruler of Jebuland. He now asked one foreign man to go and talk. That one said, you know, we know you Jebus. You know, we know you like parties. I know that you people do not give. And they were looking for the person's support. They lambasted them there. That's very unwise. Because it's not even true. No, I'm not joking. It's not true. I am your pastor. No, it's just not true. Being greedy and stingy is the work of the flesh, not the work of a tribe. Get that right. I'm not joking. It's not the work of a tribe. So realize that it's the work of the flesh. Are you following what I'm saying? You mustn't be don't be tribal in your thinking. Be spiritual. Be spiritual in the way you think. He says, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual. So that means in Corinth, they were not living from the Spirit. Is that right? Were they fellowshipping in Corinth? Yes. Were they fellowshipping from the Spirit? No. When they come together, they are talking about food. Where do you work? I work as a Zen. Become your friend. Hallelujah. Find Gracious Women's Band. Peaceful Men's Association. And say, Business and Fellowship. Not in this church. It's one fellowship we have. Hallelujah. We have just one fellowship. Amen. One. All those things are creating divisions. If you like, let your toilet be worth $1 billion. When you come here, we have one spirit. And it's not for sale. Amen. That's why the only fellowship we can find here is K2 Fellowship. Yaba Fellowship. Which has nothing to do with your status. Amen. Glory. Where was I? We have one fellowship. Say, we have one fellowship. So pay attention. So the issue in Corinth was they were acting like they did not have the Holy Ghost. There was nothing different from what they were doing and what folks were doing in the world. Some guys say, well, I am of this, I am of that. Yeah, you know, that some people joined our ministry. Some of you know this story. 2005 or 4. And then they looked around. And then they asked themselves, I don't know whether this is our status. It was years back. We hadn't started the church then. And then they said, I don't know, you can join now. It's not a bad church like that. They said, so and so family, they are wealthy in the world. So we can. So they started becoming a group of friends based on the belief that their parents, stupidity, had money. And I told them, I said, shame on all of you. Shame on you. Money. How are you different from the unsaved? When we see a Christian who has money and relates without referring to it, we have seen a Christian who knows Jesus. Hallelujah. Some guys in the service, you can know that they are old. Not because they have white hair. You just be saying, hello, young man. What's that? Does it look like age center? Young man. Hello, that young sister. Are you ancient of this? Praise God. It's just carnality. That's what it is. Pure carnality. And it's not good for Christians to be like that. So our fellowship is by the Spirit. It's from the Spirit. Are you out there? Are you out there? For example, I want to show you something Jesus said that I want you to think about it. John 20. It says, receive ye the Spirit, and whosoever sins, verse 23, that you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, it didn't add the word unto them. This just gives something to think about. The word retain is the word kratos, or kratio in the Greek. It means to hold. Now, Christ has died for them already. So, whosoever sins you hold, or you take a hold of, or you take responsibility of, which is better still, why would you retain people's sins? Doesn't mean that they will not be forgiven. That's not what he's saying. That you take responsibility for, which is what the preaching of the gospel is about. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to which God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses again. That's what it means. So, our spirit has the capacity to forgive. Say, my spirit, born of God, has the capacity to forgive any kind of sin. It is. So, how do we relate with fellow believers? We walk in the spirit. Galatians 5:22. 17 says, in 16, 17, walk in the spirit that you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then 5:22. Is the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, meekness, long-suffering, faith. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, he says, those that are of Christ have crucified the flesh, the lust, and the affections thereof. Look at Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, because we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Don't you ever say, walk in the Spirit. Now, that walk in the Spirit among believers is fellowship. Walk in the Spirit. Look up, guys. Is there anger in the spirit? Is there bitterness in the spirit? Is there gisting about another brother in the spirit? Nope. You don't have all kind of things there. So when we have divisions in the local church or among believers, it's a function of walking in the flesh. That's what it is. We walk in the spirit. So before you start giving people things, before you start giving in the church, so we give from our spirit. You can give. You know, Paul says, if I give my body to be burned and give my goods to the poor and I don't do it from the spirit, I've done nothing. You know, I can give just like some people give to boast about it. I can give a CSR, corporate social responsibility. I can give and then cameraman to see how many Indomie noodles we get people on the road. I can give and we wear shirts helping the poor and stroll around Lagos and march and be putting bands and dancing all over the place. Say, we love the poor and we're giving people shirts. I can give because Jesus said those who do things like that, they do it openly, they have their own reward. And I can do it sincerely because I want to meet the needs of the poor. They're two different things. So he says, we walk in the spirit. Go to Galatians 6:9. Are you following this? So, look up one more time. Our foundation for relationship is where? Is where? In the spirit. That's a foundation for relationship. It precedes things. Galatians 6, verse 8. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. This is a very terrible translation, so I'm just going to help you put it together. So, now what is in the spirit? Love, gentleness, kindness. What is in the flesh? Galatians 5, 19, 20, 21. Is that clear? Good. So, sowing to the spirit is not putting money in the offering bag. Putting money in the offering bag happens because you sow to the spirit. You see the moment. Let me restructure that scripture for you from the originals. He that sows to the flesh is not his flesh, it's the flesh. From him or of him. So in the Greek is he that sows to the flesh of him or of himself shall of the flesh reap corruption. So he sows to the flesh. He's not sowing to his flesh. Because we have crucified the flesh, the lusts, and the affections thereof. Are you there? Okay. So, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. The word corruption is the word decay. You see it used in Romans 8:21. I'll quickly run through that. Is the word plethora, P-H-T-H-O-R-O-R-A. You have the word in Romans 8:21, corruption. Romans 8:21, 1 Corinthians 15:42, 1 Corinthians 15:50, quickly, Colossians 2:22, 2 Peter 1:4, 2 Peter 2:12 and 2:19. I'll take it one more time. Romans 8:21, 1 Corinthians 15:42, 1 Corinthians 15:50, Colossians 2:22, 2 Peter 1:4, 2 Peter 2:12 and 2 Peter 2:19. So he is saying, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap earthly things. You will reap what belongs to this world. Earthly things. But if you sow to the spirit, you reap of eternal things. Now look at what he says next. Let us not be weary in doing good, in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The word, let us not be weary, means do not give up. Luke 18:1. Men ought to pray and not to faint. Same word. 2 Corinthians 4:1 and 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1 and 16. Ephesians 3:13 and 2 Thessalonians 3:13. So, he says we don't give up. Now, he's talking about giving things. And he's saying, give things from your spirit. Don't give on compulsion. Don't give on impulsiveness. Give deliberately because that is your nature. If you give for any other ulterior motive, you sow to the flesh and you will reap corruption. If you give from the spirit, you will of the spirit reap eternal things. Now it's so funny, if people think he's talking about, if you put five naira, you reap 500 naira. You reap eternal. How can the 500 naira be eternal? That's stupid reading of the Bible. So he's talking about, because the giving of believers is ministry, diakonia. So ministry is rewarded at the reward seat of Jesus. So he's saying you will reap eternal things. What is eternal? So why do we give? We give because of our spiritual union in Christ. If I give to a brother in Christ, I give to that brother in Christ because his needs are mine. I'm not giving because I think I'm at a vantage position or I'm doing him a favor. Yes, I'm doing him a favor, but I'm doing also myself a favor because his needs are mine. Amen. What am I doing? I'm contributing from the Spirit. Could we go to Acts 2? Acts 2. Verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their... Notice that before they started selling things, they were together. They had all things common and sold their possession and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. So the first thing is 44. They believed. 1, 2, they were together. 2, 3, they had all things in common. So the fellowship, first of all, stems from identification. We have all things common. Acts 4:32. And all the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. So say one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but he had all things common. Now what they meant is this. Nobody was bragging about what he had. Nobody was saying, what belongs to me? No. That's not what he's saying. That everyone had the sense of oneness. You have needs, they are mine. I have things, alright, that can meet your needs. I give it to you. Why? Because we have things in common. We have one fellowship in Christ. Somebody hearing this? Notice that that understanding can only come when you know the fellowship we have with one another. You'll have removed tribe. You'll have removed social status, educational status, age. Are you there? You'll have removed all those things. So it will dawn on you that we actually have fellowship. And that should be why you give. Interestingly, most of the giving done today is giving from Mount Sinai. You are giving so that God will do something. You are giving so that it will be multiplied. That's not motivated by love. When you give in the new creation in Christ, you don't give because of your needs, you give because of the needs of other persons. That's how we give. Most of this casino giving people do. Baba Jebu kind of giving. You know, it's motivated by the flesh, not from the spirit. You give as God has given. Are you there? So, practice forgiveness. I wrote this in my note. Practice forgiveness and you will know how to give to believers. Practice forgiveness and you will know how to give to believers. So let's look at practical things. Practical things. Why do I forgive you? I forgive you because what I give to you belongs to us. And more importantly, you need that forgiveness. So, I actually forgive because of you. I've heard people say, well, to forgive is not forgetting. You know, we have ways of analyzing our carnality. Let's be realistic. Being realistic is being God's children. Imitate God as their children. We all quote, is our sins and iniquity remember no more. I will say, that's God. Me, I will remember. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Is mine, saith the Lord. So, let's look at practical things. Jesus did his best to teach it under the law. Matthew's Gospel 18. The first way, the first thing that inspires Christian fellowship is for us to know that we have fellowship. So, if you come here now and you have someone that your relationship is not smooth, have you had fellowship? You have received the word, though. Huh? We have not had fellowship. If you come in and you're bawled out like a demon is driving you to the wilderness, you've not had fellowship. If you come here and you, some people come, these are the, I see them and I wonder, when did these people get born again? Let me show you how some folks come. I watch them. You can turn back. Because it might be you. Just come in. Joshua says, go in. We'll find him. That's it. Sit in front. Who do you think you are? God came before you. Who do you think you are? Whatever you are has no respect in the house of God. We know people in the spirit. That's pride and the flesh. Who do you think? They sit down there, you see. I think I told you last week. You go outside. Then you'll be queuing up. Have you gone for visa application? Ah, people develop fruit of the spirit in that place. Just say move. You'll be there from 5 a.m. Nobody's fighting. Because if you fight, someone step on you and say, ah, sorry. Tell the person sorry. You now come to the house of God. So I was like, can you move? So I don't, I've moved two times for people right now. I cannot move again. Find someone else to sit, please. I'm sorry. Please now. Our fellowship is with one another. Hallelujah. You there? Matthew's Gospel 18. He says, moreover, let's start from where he started. Even if it's so, not the, verse 18, not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against you. So look at where he started from. Nobody should perish. Moreover, if your brother should trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Someone say alone. Alone. Don't take recorder. Amen? Put recorder, say, I'm recording what you say. If he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. So they gained your brother. Because that's why you should have gone. Gain your brother. Not to tell your mind. I just want to tell you my mind. You know, I'm not that kind of person. I'll tell you my mind. Whatever happens, that's your business. If you don't hear, you'll take with you one or two more. Who want to gain the brother? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. A few people use this thing legalistic. You go. I've told you, Abby. I'll bring two people. And if he shall neglect to hear you, tell it unto the church. That is the leadership. And if he shall neglect to hear the church, let it be unto thee an eating man and a publican. Now, I used to think that this meant this guy with judgment. Again, like I said, you're reading what Jesus said in the eyes of the law. Where did it start from? Let nobody perish. Okay? So, if we had proceeded to the next thing he said, but we were looking more for demons, the next verse now says, whatever you bind on earth, that is, okay, he has chosen not to have a good relationship with you. He has chosen not to repent. He has chosen not to change. Okay, now, whatever you do on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be lost in heaven. Now, if two of you shall agree. Now, don't forget, he has said you take two. As touching this matter, of what they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Watch this. What was he talking about? He was talking about forgiving people. Pay attention though. So, whatever you decide as touching forgiveness shall be done. Whatever you lose shall be done. So, on that brother, okay, he's an ethnic and a publican. Okay? What do you do to an ethnic and publican? Are you following this? No, follow now. He says, how often shall my brother sin against me? That was the next question. They understood what he was saying. He says, seven times. In fact, the verse is 7 times 7. I say unto thee 7 times until 70 times 7. So he now says, therefore is the kingdom of God likened unto a certain king which shall take account of his servants. You understand? So he began to talk about, look at this. And the Lord, let me just run through this. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and looked him and forgave him the debt. So, what is he teaching you to do? He's teaching you to forgive. So, what should I lose? I will lose forgiveness. L-O-O-S-E. I'll forgive the guy. So, my motive to go to anyone is to forgive. That's even under the law. Jesus now, Paul now taught you that forgive as you have been forgiven. God didn't come to you. He didn't come to you. He didn't take any two people. He didn't gather. He just forgave. Same way you will forgive. Hallelujah. That's who we are. Amen. Look at the prodigal son story. Luke 15, 28. Why? Apostle, why is it that many believers struggle with this? I'll tell you where the challenge is. Why do we struggle with forgiveness of sins? Remember when the brother came back and saw the dad, in Jesus' parable here, as he was coming, the dad ran after him, hugged him and kissed him and all that. Then, in 25, the other brother was in the field. He came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and said, what's happening? What's happening? He said unto him, that means the father doesn't take permission from him. Abi? He didn't tell him. Your brother has come and your father had killed a fatted cow. This servant said, what is happening? Your brother is back. That should have stopped. Because he has received him safe and sound. Look at 28. Let's read 28 together. And he was angry. And would not go in. You see, many of us, and I'm saying this because this is laid upon me to share, many of us have anger problems.
Anger. Anger. We allow our emotions rule our spirit. Anger. He was angry. Now, what was he angry about? It's a major question. What was he angry for? He was angry and he would not even go in. Do you know? He acted like he was the one the vice sinned against. And we do that a lot. I was telling someone, I said, okay, let's look at it very well. The guy said, do you know that he actually sinned against God? He said, yes, I know. Are you aware God has forgiven him? He said, yes. So you are not forgiven. He said, I'm trying to, I'll ask you again. Are you aware God has forgiven him? He said, I know. So, which part are you playing there? Anger. You know, I told you last week, I believe it was in service, that the first manifestation of sin was what? Fear. Okay? Then what did we see in their children? Anger. Anger. Wrath. You boil over. Wrath. Romans 4:15. The law works wrath. That's why if you see churches where it is the Old Testament, they are always angry. They are always fighting. There are churches, I've said it last week, the minute you teach walking in love, the ministry will close down. It will close down. There are places in this country, if you just teach righteousness through faith, that's the end of their ministry. Because the bondage they hold people under is not to know that. So I'm born of God. So it says the law works anger. If you study in the Old Testament, you'll be angry. No. You will develop prayer points. You will see enemies. You'll be fighting people. You also be afraid. But glory to God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba Father. Amen. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. But of what? Love. Power and a sound mind. The man who walks in love knows he's protected by love. We are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Are you following this? So look at the local church. The scenario. Because there is no place to practice brotherhood like the local church. That's where you practice it. If you want to know whether people are spiritual, it's in their local church. You know, that's what I tell people. Why is people on Facebook? Go and look for where they fellowship. That's how you will really know them. Some are very lazy Christians. They only attend prayer meetings when they are about to say amen. They always share the grace. They are lazy believers. They are not committed. So say, oh, what? Take over. Take over. It hasn't taken over your life. Hallelujah. So you know it. In your department in church, in your fellowship. That is how you begin to practice the Christ life amongst believers. Amongst believers. See. He says, forgive, Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind hearted one to another. So say one to another. What does it mean? What does it mean? Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Glory to God. Let's read verse 12. For as the body is one, and had many members, all members of that one body. And being many are one body, so also is Christ. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, that the members shall have the same care one for another. One for another. In your local assembly. Care one for another. Which is where you have the word antipalo, to exchange. That means you must not always be found on the receiving end. That's not fellowship. That is parasitism. You must always what? So fellowship is when you have received. You now what? Let me ask you. Today, in this service, apart from coming and writing and speaking in tongues and raising your hands, what have you done for someone? Anybody? Some people have done something already. You know what they have done? They arranged the chairs. Right? Some people have been going out, in and out, to ensure things are smooth for everybody. What are they doing? They are fellowshipping. Someone will minister to someone. You can't be in fellowship and not contribute. What do you contribute? So when you give in the offering bag, is what? Fellowship. It's part of what we do as believers. We must understand Christian fellowship primarily from the art of forgiveness, where we give to others what has been given to us, not just what has been given, the way it has been given to us. We give to others what has been given. What else? The way it has been given to us. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Stand to your feet and give your praise. Thank you.